Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate that scripture reading in Matthew chapter 6. We'll get that in moments. You want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. I want to show a few passages in the New Testament and then focus on a set of scriptures that I find pretty unique. Great to see you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to worship. Appreciate your mind and your goal to worship God this morning. I'll be honest with you, I follow a preacher, Chris Emerson, who's coming to give our gospel meeting in the fall, and some of the concepts I'm talking about today, he preached about a few months ago, so I want to give him the credit for that, but I thought it would be a great idea to pass along to this congregation. As a congregation, we would like to be unified in the faith. As Christians, as baptized believers, it would be nice if we could all agree on everything and every example that we read in the New Testament. And we understood what was binding and not binding, what was important, and we all came to the same conclusions. But your experience and mine are totally different. We do not see all the examples the same sometimes in the New Testament. And sometimes we view certain statements in the New Testament as cultural or regional or literal or not literal based on context. And because of some examples we have are stories that are shown to us and statements, we always have some differences in the way we view the totality of the way God wants us to be. We can work on that with love for one another, kind of sorting through some of the more complex passages. But one thing I think we all should agree on is that when God gives us commands, you and I must keep them. If we could all unify our base that commands matter, we would all be starting a very common ground. So some common ground that I just want to establish here, repeated many times in the New Testament, is about obedience to the instructions that Jesus and God the Father have given us. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. That's really small writing. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. In verse 15 of John chapter 14, if you want to follow along, John chapter 14, and then again in verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Very simple theme here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. John talks a lot about following Christ, not only in the Gospel of John, but also in 1 John. To 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. How about verse 6 right there, First John chapter 2. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. There are several more passages here in 1 John. Last one I have is Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12 on this subject. This is the perseverance of the saints passage. The English Standard Version uses different words. It calls it's the call for endurance. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. The interesting follow-up question is, what are the commandments of God? So I guess you could get your New Testament out and start reading what the commands are. I don't know if you've ever done that, just wrote down the actual commandments of God. Not just the ideas, but like the direct commands, literal, actual commands. Very interesting list. You could start Matthew 4, talks about repent. Matthew 5, shine in the world. Matthew 5 also has love your enemies, put God first, honor your parents, be baptized. Those are commands. Those are the do commands, the affirmative commands. And last month, this may be very familiar to you, last month Phil put together a sermon called The Purpose of Life on this Earth. As followers of God, he had all of these based each individually in a scripture throughout the Bible. as the do commands, as our purpose on life. Glorify God, serve others, persuade others, love others. But I don't want to talk about these this morning. I want to talk about these. The do not commands. These are the less popular ones. What do you think about those? What do you think about when the Bible says directly, explicitly, unmistakably, do not do this thing? It would seem to me that the basic tenet of our faith would be to not do what we're not to do, especially when God says don't do it. Or at least you strive and you fight and you claw and you work towards not doing it. As you consider a life of Christ, a life in Christ, where you're devoted to Christ, you should count the cost, as Jesus says. Life of a Christian entails some of those things we just saw on the last slide. Sharing the gospel with others, serving others, loving others, putting Christ over self. But also I have two teenage boys right now. My 11-year-old's not far behind. And as you can guess, the more frequent conversations we have are the pitfalls and snares to avoid in life as we mature, as they mature. My wife and I think about almost every day how to influence their lives for good. And today's lesson really directed to my boys. So as I talked to my teenage boys this morning, some of the other young people, especially in this passage in Proverbs, wanted to first remind, the mature adults of some of the do nots in the New Testament. So we have something to think about. It's not always easy to follow do not commands of Scripture. It's kind of a battle and a fight. And so let's look at a couple of those examples quickly in Matthew. Matthew 5. Let me give you four do nots. Direct, unmistakable, cannot persist in these things. And these apply to young and old here in Matthew. Found right here in the beginning of your New Testament, right here in Matthew's Gospel. I'll put four of them up here. The Bible says, do not lust. Really what it says in Matthew 5 is do not commit adultery. Chapter 5 and verse 28, more than do not commit adultery, it says do not look at a woman with lust for her. And that's an imperative in Scripture. It's not some example or approved behavior or disapproved behavior. It's a direct command of God not to do that. So is this one. This is our Scripture reading. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 34. We just read this whole passage. Do not worry, do not be anxious. Here are the verses. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Three times, like nine passages. So at this point, you should be saying, I got it. I don't worry. I'm not anxious. Because Jesus tells me, do not worry. Of course, it's not as easy as it sounds. Everyone in this room fights with worry, and we wrestle with it. But I tell you that you and I have to continue to wrestle with it, because we can't disregard the specific do-nots that Jesus has given us. These are scriptural do-nots. Even with bad life circumstances. Third one I came up with, do not judge. Matthew 7. And if you read, do not judge in the context of Matthew 7, this type of judging that is condemned in the New Testament is not the discerning of right from wrong, or the exposure of error, or a particular false teacher. That's talked about other places in Scripture. It's a judging done as a hypocrite, or a slanderer, or an anger. Do not judge. One more in the same area. I just picked out a few things that we're focused on, a few of the do nots. Matthew 6 and 19, 20, and 21. Matthew 6, 19, 20, 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Materialism changes your heart. Do not be selfish. Do not focus on your own money goals. Focus on the spiritual treasure which cannot rust, which cannot be stolen by someone else, as the passage says here. Focus on your soul, staying right with the Creator. Okay, that's already plenty to think about. Do not lust. Do not worry. Do not judge. Do not lay up earthly treasure. So for us more mature individuals, make sure you do not ignore the do nots Jesus specifically gives us. For the younger crowd, we go to a special passage in Proverbs. Let's first look at Proverbs chapter 1. We've studied Proverbs in our Bible study a few years ago. And you may be thinking the do nots in the New Testament are really the important ones. The Old Testament really is for perspective and reference. And I would argue that's not the case. Proverbs is also written by the Holy Spirit. It was penned by the wisest guy to ever live before Jesus was on the earth. His name was Solomon. He wrote general wisdom that really applies to every generation. And the book of Proverbs says something for us to do, we should do it. When it says do not, we should not do that. But it really fits in with our New Testament do nots. Proverbs chapter 1. See how this book starts. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear an increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Understand a proverb in a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 4 says, knowledge and discretion to the young. As you know, Proverbs is a really, really good book for life. It's like an overall life hack. It transcends centuries and generations. You'll notice in the book, Proverbs will say, do this, do not do this, over and over. Every single one of those are for your benefit and my benefit. And every single one of those is from the mind of God. And every one of those that have been followed over the generations and years, those people have been blessed by that obedience to that wisdom and advice. And you will also be blessed. So to Proverbs chapter 22. This is an interesting section. This is kind of where the rest of the lesson is going to be. We don't like it either before or after chapter 22 in the book of Proverbs. It starts in 22 and verse 22. I don't have this part on the PowerPoint. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 22. But it says, do not rob the poor because he is poor. And if you circle things in your Bible or you like to underline things, this begins a section of scripture with verse 22, and you can count them. 22 do nots. And so Proverbs chapter 22, verse 22, and 22 do nots. Verse 24 is do not. Verse 26 is do not. Verse 28 do not. Verse 29 do not. The next chapter, 23, verse 3 is do not. Verse 4 is do not. Verse 6, 9, 10, right, so it goes. There are 22 of them. And I'll have 22 more points. But it extends all the way till chapter 24 and verse 29. So your bookends are really chapter 22, 22 to 24 and 29. And that last one says, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. That is basically, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's the last one in the section. But I picked out a few of these specifically for young people. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever you do on the weekend, whatever you prioritize for your future, you now have freedom. How you make choices and what to do with your freedom, if you're going to have freedom in the next few years, and you're free to choose. Use this section to govern your life. What are some of those things? Number one, do not look on the wine. This is probably the best known of this section, by the way, and so we'll start with that. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has red eyes? I hope you don't want any of those things, and I trust you don't want those things. Woe, sorrow, complaining, wounds, red eyes. Like, who actually has those things? Verse 30. Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine, do not look at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake, it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will say perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When will I awake? I will seek another drink. Do not look at that wine. There are many things in life that can go amiss through alcohol and its influence on you. The way it makes you think, kind of people who put you around, the damage that it causes, the potential for addiction that can come along with it. These are very simple concepts here in Proverbs. I've spent some time researching alcohol, especially when we're studying Proverbs. I've done some alcohol studies around that time, which are very technical. And, based on the technology, their technology at the time, we figured out that really they couldn't make any stronger drinks than 10% alcohol content. And so the distilleries, which were invented much later, would not have been influential on their alcohol production. So really what's talked about here is nothing greater than 10%. And pretty much every wine made today is 14%, 15%. Any bottle of wine anywhere in the state of Georgia will be stronger than what they had in mind here in the Proverbs. We're not mentioning liquor and strong drinks. You say, well, beer is like 4 or 5%. Well, they sell you 6 of them. Do not do it. Christian church is not a drinking church. If you trust God, like many will say they do, you have to trust what he's telling you. This is not the way we're going to live our lives as followers of Christ. We won't go to the New Testament to prove this point any further, but you remember the passages about being sober, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Be sober. Do not do it. There are a few other things here. He says, do you know what else? Chapter 23 and verse 20. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters. I'm just picking out several of these because they apply to you, especially when you're young and you're easily influenced. Do not be with people who disregard the commands of God. It's not wise to have these people in your inner circle. But specifically, if there are people who in your life who choose to drink anyway, or basically have no self-control, which is what I'm gathering from this passage. They are gluttonous, they are heavy drinkers. Fatigue and eat and consume. They don't care about what it does to their bodies. And they don't care what it means for the people around them. They just want it for themselves. You know these people. Give me kind of people. That kind of attitude. No discipline. In verse 20, he's not just saying don't be that person. He's saying don't be with that person. So if we're going to do what's right, we have to be around the right people. Everyone knows that. Bad company corrupts good morals. And all those old quotes. You're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. Think about that. If you're the 5 people are drinkers, you are an average drinker. These 5 people disregard the commands of God. Guess what? You become people just like those people. There's a running back in Ohio State named Maurice Claret. Maybe a familiar name to you. He rushed for over 1,200 yards as a freshman running back at Ohio State. Back in 2003, as a freshman, helped Ohio State win a national championship in 2003. And then he was drafted by the Broncos in 2004, but never played a down in the NFL. Instead, he went to prison. And so, it was for armed robbery. He now goes around the country and talks to young men, tells them how to not repeat his life. He says, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." It's not just about alcohol and food and drugs and loss of control. You have to control yourself in other ways. There's one in 22 and verse 24. Chapter 22 and verse 24. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, or do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Okay, injection time here. Young ladies, watch for this. People you are dating or thinking about dating or who you are interested in. I guess young men also, avoid the drinkers, yes, good call. But also someone who is quick to anger, fierce and mean and unforgiving. Because very often that amplifies throughout their life. As you add kids and jobs and responsibility and stressors. Be careful who you spend your time with. This will sound familiar to my voice. Be careful who you spend your time with. Verse 25, you will learn their ways. Spend time with people who are angry and get angry. That's the idea. Do not do that. Next one I found is fairly interesting, chapter 24 and verse 21. Kind of strange, but very good. Chapter 24, verse 21. "My son, fear the Lord." Here's a command. "Fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change." In the New American Standard, I think. Or rebellious in some versions. "For their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that these two can bring." What does that mean? Do not associate with those given to change. I guess you look at the beginning of the verse there, you have the Lord who has told you who he is. Everyone in this room knows who the Lord is. You know who he is. You know about the authority he has. You've been told how to follow him, why to follow him. You've been given explicit commands on what he wants and what he doesn't want. And there may be people in your life who want to change what God has said. Right? Maybe they have a Bible in their hands. Maybe they say, "Do this." And they say, "You don't really have to do that. God says, don't do that." So, yeah, but you can a little. That's the idea, I think. Given the change, the lack of self-control, lack of self-discipline, it causes you to do things that God doesn't want you to do. Disregard his commands. Any change on that front is error. And we understand why it happens. People like to do what they like to do. Do not spend time with these people. There are outer circle friends and inner circle friends, right? Maybe you go to work or school and there's angry people there, or there's drinkers, or there's disrespectful people. You can't control your exposure to those people. What you can control is your inner circle. The outer circle, you just shine your light, like Matthew says. Try to be a good influence on those people. But everyone in this room knows about your inner circle friends. These are people that you allow to get close enough to you to influence you, influence your life, who you are. And so the inner circle friends cannot be these people. Okay, two more. How about chapter 23, verse 17? "Do not be envious of evil people, nor desire to be with them. For their minds plot violence, and their lips talk of trouble." This is the churchgoer who doesn't drink, who doesn't get corrupted by being around, you know, bad kids or kids making poor decisions. But honestly, I really, really want to. You want to do that. It looks like a lot of fun. It's just like a yearning for me. Maybe when you're on your own, you're going to choose to do some of these things. That's the burning desire within you. Do not be envious of sinners. Verse 17, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always." Fear the Lord always. Today's Mother's Day in our country. And what does that mean, and why Sunday? Well, I think originally it was tied to religion, the positive acts of mothers on followers of God way back in 1907. As I read a little bit about it, crossed over into more secular holiday in 1914, when President Woodrow Wilson signed every second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. So it's really a day honoring mothers and celebrating mothers of a family or individual, and remembering their influence on children and society as a whole. And what do mothers want on Mother's Day? This is a Family Feud survey. You guys know from the Family Feud, right? 100 married women were asked, what do you want on Mother's Day? 32% want family time or love from their family. 16% want flowers, 9% want time alone, the others want dinner and vacation and perfume and jewelry. 6% just want a car. That's to my boys. This passage in Proverbs tells us what Christian mothers want 100% of the time. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, verse 22 and following, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The point is, God gave many of us, most of us here in this room, good parents who fear God and love you. Buy the truth they are selling. Do not throw it away. Look at verse 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. So give your mom the gift of being righteous. That's what godly mothers really want from their children. Be wise and righteous. Remember, I told you a few minutes ago that people in the world want to draw you in, and they want you to do what they're doing, probably because it makes them feel good about what they're doing. But in the end, they may cut you off because you were there for their benefit. What's really neat about godly moms and dads is they're genuinely in this for your benefit. They'll be glad to see you succeed. They'll draw great joy your faith. They want to help you. That's what I tell my kids. And to do that, they're going to give you some instructions. And the instructions from your parents are going to look a lot like God's instructions. Do this, and do not do this. That's how God communicates with us most directly. If you want to live a blessed and holy life, do this. Do not do this. It's how God chisels out his people through commands. These people are true followers of God, those people who follow the do's and the do nots. Buy the truth from your dad and mom and sell it not. These things we talked about, of course, are not very easy to do, the do nots. We, the people in this room, all of us, we're the ones who are battling anger, lust, or alcohol, or worry our whole lives, but the battle is worth it. So we have to keep fighting, keep battling. These things are hard, but we have to stay with it. This morning, if we can help you get right with God, we appreciate you coming forward this time, and let us know anything we can do for you. Just answer.